I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thought us here at the SC Report could take a nice relaxing week off. Instead, we've seen our beloved Queenslanders get absolutely pummeled. We've seen teamless drop today. We're in lockdown. COVID spreading. It's all happening. Melbourne. The Storm are fleeing to Melbourne. Who'd have thought? What a crazy 2021. It is JT here. And of course, Lakey. I haven't heard you for a while, mate. Good to have you back.
Yeah, it's been about a week. How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, I guess I'm stuck at home, accounted by trade, so obviously not too affected. The laptop will get a workout, but you've got three kids in the house.
For different reasons.
Yeah, there you go.
Mate, so forget panic buying. I've got three kids, five and under, so I went straight into doomsday prepping when lockdown was announced.
That's not ideal. How much toilet paper do you have to cover the 3 days and beyond?
Mate, it's not that. It's just having the food to feed them, and I guess it's got to come back out. But then, yeah, just trying to entertain them. So I'm working, but the missus on holidays as well with the school. We've got the kids on school holidays, so everyone's going to be here for the next 3 days. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, everyone's having fun. Everyone's having a great time. Everyone's on holiday, right? What could be better? And in the meantime, you've got to sort out Super Trade Week, which has finally landed. Five whole trades. And I don't know about you, but I pushed the button basically at the start of, was it Monday last week?
Yep.
That we went out of, out of Supercoach lockout into today's lockdown. Well, but I've jigged and jagged and jabbed and ragged, and I finally got a team I think I'm reasonably happy with. Where are you?
Similar, I'm running low on trades, so I've got to decide whether I want to go whole hog or save a few, but it's coming together.
Yeah, go whole hog, mate. No one ever cares about those trades at the back end, right? No one ever needs them.
No, that's
nothing
right.
Ever happens.
Nothing
There's
happens
no
at the end of the year. No one rests in round 25 and we don't struggle for teams. It should be fine.
Oh, man. It's going to be a bad year. When you look at the gap between top and bottom, there is going to be some restings left, right, and center. What a fun time we have to look forward to. But it's round 16 time. Obviously, the big trade weeks. Everyone's looking ahead into both round 17, the bye week and the run home. But there is a round ahead, and it's a pretty important one, a couple of juicy matchups. So this pod, we're going to get into some of the round 16 team list news. As we've highlighted them. We're not going to go game by game as we used to because we want to finish before midnight. But we'll talk about some of the key ins and outs. There's a big one for you. I'm sure you are delighted. We'll then talk about, just to sum up what we usually do, who we're captaining, who we reckon will vice-captain, who the wish-I-had player is. I've got a fair few of them. I'll spend about half an hour rattling those off. And then we'll call out a flop for the week. We'll have a little prediction. We don't often do them on this one, but we'll call out a flop. I'm sure they'll get 200. And then beyond that, we'll talk about what we're doing in this round and then beyond in terms of round 17. Obviously, that's the focus. That's the big moving week, and it's the last chance to climb up the ladder. I don't know if you and I are doing okay. We've managed to scrape through over the last few weeks, courtesy of, I think, you, Tommy Turbo, captain.
Yes, it was beautiful, wasn't it? I was actually out on the Sunday night. I didn't watch the game. So last I saw the Titans were winning 24-16 or something like that, and I thought, oh, I've done one here. And when I checked when I got home, I had some messages from the boys going, great score, Lakey. And I went, what the hell happened?
Blink and you miss it. Tommy Turbo, what an absolute hero. It's going to be a tough watch for anyone who does not still own him and his 900K salary this week. What a tough matchup that's going to be. But we'll talk about what we're doing in advance of the round 17 by some of the moves and shakes for this week. So without further ado, let's get into the round 16 news. Our Our beloved Wenin has crossed the border, so there is actually no team list write-up on the site. I think he's just dropped the teams and that's it, because he has smuggled himself out of Queensland and somewhere in Australia. We won't reveal where for his own safety, but Wenin's out. He's on holiday. Yee-haw to him. Hopefully he gets his team.
Tough to be the boss, mate. You can just take holidays whenever you want them.
Oh, it certainly is.
The plebs are still carrying the...
the inmates running the asylum. Oh boy, it's going to be a fun one. But yeah, some round 16 news. All the Origin players, bar obviously the one major guy, that Nathan Cleary bloke, are backing up, which is almost unheard of, I guess, helped by a Sunday game, a horrible game of Origin that we will never speak of again. But Nathan Cleary, the big out for this week and possibly long term. Have you got any more news beyond, I guess, the 3 to 6 weeks we've been quoted?
No, I'm looking through Twitter. I've had a few notifications come up as we've gone to air. You know, physios retweeting bits and bobs, but they're saying that they're hoping they can nurse him through the back end of the season. It's a tough spot to get painkillers into, so it's only going to be rehab, strengthening, and strapping and stuff like that. So it's going to be a funny one. I do see that I can foresee him being out for quite a few weeks, as the Panthers are really locked in for a top four spot now, so you may as well rest him and make a charge if he can get back at finals time. But you don't want him redoing it in the lead-up, I suppose. It's an interesting conundrum for us, though. What do we do with him now? He's like $1 billion. He could fund every other trade I want for the rest of the year, but if he comes back, I'm going to want him too.
Yeah, it's almost a no-brainer though, right? If he's out longer term and possibly over and above the Origin period, like, it's just a no-brainer. You've got to fund this side somehow. We've all got grand plans, and it could basically do it for everyone. He's got to be owned by surely everyone that's still playing.
Yeah, that's it. And he's owned by 58% of teams, I had a look today, so it's not like it's low for what I would have thought, considering what he's been doing this year. But he, if he's going to be out for 6 weeks, that takes us through to what, round 22, 23, something like that. So you're only going to get him for 2 or 3 games at the back end of the year. If that's the case, then yeah, get rid of him. But the last I've heard is saying definitely out for Origin 3. I haven't heard anything substantial after that, but that's only 2 weeks. So if he comes back round 18 as the best case, then you may miss having him then. But scans tomorrow, I believe, further scans tomorrow. So we should hear tomorrow afternoon, Thursday morning sort of thing, what's going on with him and what those scans have revealed.
I would suspect if he's out for Origin, you would imagine 4 days later he's not going to be able to back up.
Well, that's
in
true
18.
Too.
So
yeah,
it's a long time to sit on the sidelines and have that amount of cash. So I think Supercoach just don't need to overthink it. Like, yeah, it would be great to have him bang on when he returns, whenever that may be. But geez, if you can basically bankroll your side in this week of all weeks, you've just got to pull the trigger. It'd be an absolute luxury to keep him in, and you're going to fall asleep at the wheel. So good luck to you if that's the way you're going. But I think Nathan Cleary out is going to be absolutely the number one trade for this week. Back in some of the other news outside of Origin, key returns this week, quite a few. Your boy Kalyn Ponga, he's back to salvage some sort of season for the Knights. Of course, it happens to be against the Cowboys. But what are you expecting from him?
I don't know. I'm expecting him to be amazing and win us all sorts of games and score 3 tries and make up for all that lost time. But realistically, he's got coming back from a groin complaint, they've given him a long time out. He was actually named for round 15 and was a late withdrawal. So I'd be keeping an eye on the team changes if you have him in drafts or whatever. I'm just excited to have him back. Our team desperately needs him.
It certainly does. I've lacked a bit of direction at the back there. So Kalyn Ponga back, and hopefully for Queensland, good news. Obviously, we're not going all that great, but if he can get a couple of games under the belt, or one, he'll basically have one game here against us to get under the belt before he is probably named for Origin. So good news for you, I think, in terms of Supercoach, given how stacked the fullback position is. It's going to be a absolute wait and see and a luxury trade in at the back end if he does catch fire.
Someone I've got my eye on for. And we can go on that a little bit later or next week or whatever, but someone I'm keeping a very close eye on.
Yeah, there you go. Expecting him to not play Origin, or is this thinking 18 and beyond?
18 and beyond. So even if he doesn't play Origin, he's on the bye with the Knights. So he should drop a bit of cash. I think he's got a low score, high BE for the next couple of weeks, considering he hurt himself late. But, yeah, he should he got the Broncos twice on the run home, and we know what they give up to fullbacks.
Yeah, that could be a juicy option. Mate, I reckon Kalen Ponga is to you what Milford is to Wilfred. It's that kind of absolute relationship. It's going to burn you at some point, and I'm sure it will happen this year if you bring him in. A couple of other names. It's probably guys that you've held on to, if anything. It's not overly Supercoach relevant, but Sam Walker, he's been named for the Chooks. Good to see him back. Could be feeding some outside backs, but a tough matchup this week, so interested to see how he goes. Matty Dufty, he's back for the Dragons. Billy Kickow. Never want to see your name on my side again. He is back, and Mike Sivo back from suspension. So filling out, if you're back to Sivo in a couple of weeks ago, you're kind of really out of luck there. But he's back in the side. So anyone that's shorter numbers, you've got some cavalry returning there. And the big one for me, and maybe not a big one, but it really rules this guy out as an option unless there's something drastic between now and round 17. But Matty Tomoko has been bumped out for the returning Jared Croker, who is all just so far off the Supercoach radar. I don't think we can ever go back. He looks past his prime, but he's bumped out what looked like a pretty good cheapie, 201K. Matty Tomoko been reduced to, well, extended bench. So hopefully Jared puts something together. Would you ever consider a Jared Croker run for round 17?
Oh, I'd have to show something amazing over the next couple of weeks. I wouldn't grab him for round 17. I need to see a fair few weeks out of him.
Absolutely. A guy that may have some eyes on him for the run home, because we haven't seen any of him so far this year, Tony Staggs. So actually the last, I should say, not on the football field, I was at Albion Park Greyhound Track on a Thursday night, as you do, for a work event, and he was there in hoodie at the ATM withdrawing large sums of money and not looking like he was having a good time. So hopefully he's had a couple of wins since then, and he's in form and ready to really steer the ship for the Broncos on their run to the Wooden Spoon. So who knows? Tony Staggs, he's been biding his time out, long wait for both injury and suspension. So he's going to come back, and who knows? Could be the spark the Broncos need.
He was supposed to be all teed up for the halves, wasn't he? So he could be the Broncos' 15th half pairing of the season once he gets a name run in there.
Well, surely, because Carmichael Hunt's been bumped out now. Like, it, why not? Who knows? Why don't you give Alan Langer a go as well? Who knows? A Langer-Staggs combination.
I don't know what's going on at the Broncos. Like, they're starting to clear house, and there was a bit of word around today that they've booted the health and fitness guy or whatever it is, and then had an absolute slaughtered training session on Sunday. And, you know, guys like Carmichael Hunt and a few other boys, Alex Glenn, have picked up injuries on that Sunday training session. So that's why they're all missing this week, apparently. So it's the Broncos, just when you think they've hit rock bottom, they pick up a pickaxe and keep digging.
Certainly do. So speaking of digging a hole, you've done this going into the key outs, mate. You've done it to yourself with this one. Reece Walsh, what a buy. I think it ranks up there and just didn't. I guess yours is misfortune, given everything that happened and him being named in Origin, then injured. But you've got to be sort of kicking yourself a little bit there, pushing the Walsh button as you did.
100%, last mate. Round? Yeah, say, I brought him in because I wasn't 100% on him. I think I was talking to you about it, and I was humming and hawing, and ended up pulling the trigger because he was looking to be a good round 17 fullback option, and he was playing the Knights last week without Ponga, and my boys have been struggling. Anyway, he had a very large negative break even, so everything was pointing up, and the shit just hit the fan. He ended up scoring 30 as the Knights pulled up the upset, yay. But then picked for Origin and got hurt, and now he may not even be there around 17. So I've just taken one of my precious trades and flushed it.
Have you heard anything about him? So obviously couldn't play in Origin, pulled up lame with the hamstring, but is he any chance of 17?
No, I'm not sure at this stage. I haven't heard a thing. I'm kind of hoping they're just taking a precaution this week and he'll get back in next week. But I don't know whether he goes into camp again for the Maroons and just get some experience there before releasing for the club duties the following weekend. I'm not sure.
Yeah, tough luck for Walsh and Walsh owners in Supercoach. Another name, Greg Marju. So he was looking pretty good as a cheapie, scoring plenty of tries and looked like banking some cash. Now he's out with an elbow injury. So tough luck if you bounced on him early. Who else we got? Harry Grant, he's gone for 2 to 3 weeks. Queensland cannot take a trick, so he'll be a round 18 and beyond play. One of my boys here, a little bit of misfortune, but Josh Curran, as well as Ewan Aitken, 2 week COVID suspension or isolation. So I think it brings them up to, they get released on Sunday game day of round 17.
The,
but
the day before, by all accounts, I believe. Yeah, the Saturday before, like before their Sunday game. So I don't know. The question now becomes, do they get named on next Tuesday and then just straight back into the side without any training, without captain's run or anything like that? It's a huge spanner in the works. Do you trade him? Do you hold him and wait and see? Because what day do they play on in that round?
It's a Sunday, so it would be
it's the last game of the round. Yeah, that's right.
So I think for me, because I own him, and I'm not, do you as well?
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, I think the easiest solution is just to keep him for this round anyway, and then see if he's even named next week. That'll be the trigger, and then you just move him on. I think he's sort of done his job for us. 400K, you can get a pretty handy buy into run home coverage with that. So unfortunate news, him and Aitken gone for 2 weeks. Very awkward timing indeed. Dylan Edwards, he's out injured. He's replaced by Charlie Staines, so a guy that everyone's surely by now binned. I know I did last round, and he's now at fullback where he's probably going to ton up. I can't wait to see it.
It's just, that's Supercoach, mate. The Supercoach gods just have a laugh.
Absolutely. Matty Tomoko, as we mentioned, replaced by Croker. Tough luck for any cheapy holders, but you never know. Croker's a bit injury prone, so hold firm for round 17, fingers crossed. And still no sign of a couple of blokes. Ryan Pappenhausen, I've seen conflicting reports. I think on NRL.com it has round 20, but then the Storm are quoted as saying they hope he's back for round 18. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a bit of a mystery, as it has been basically ever since he was concussed. But in terms of, I guess, Hines ownership, that really is the key there for Supercoach. So, for me, I still own Nico Hines, and I'm still tempted to keep him. I think he's a pretty handy cog in that Storm wheel, and he's getting a fair few points. He's got a tough matchup this week. So it would have been an easy sell if we had confirmed knowledge of when Pappy was coming back. But I think just with this uncertainty, I have no idea. I'm just keeping Pappenhausen for the ride and probably burning cash. But, I mean, if I think you've moved him
No. I've still got him. He's sitting as my center wing one at the moment. And I'm going to just keep riding him until Pappenhausen's back and Hines is placed onto the bench. He's a cute dude and got something about him. But yeah, he's the best center wing option in Supercoach at the moment, and I think you just ride that wave until Pappenhausen comes back and ruins it. He and then boot him. So this is probably the last round we'll get for him before Pappenhausen comes back in 18. I kind of hope he doesn't. I think the Storm should take a very cautious approach with Pappenhausen and rest him till at least 19, because the Knights play the Storm in round 18.
Lovely. Could be a rusty Pappenhausen, though you never know. They maybe even ease him back off the bench as he played. Was it last year or the year before and absolutely killed it? So, yeah, it remains to be seen just where Hines fits in that rotation. But for now, I think the Cleary news kind of makes it a bit of an easier call just to hold him, because we needed the cash and Nico was our avenue for it. But now that Cleary's gone and we can move him on and bank the million, I don't think we care as much about Hines shedding some cash, which he's got a 130 break even this week. So likely to not hit that, you would suspect, against the Roosters night matchup. I believe Newcastle, they've shifted the game there.
Yes, so they've taken it up to the Hunter so they can still have a crowd. Everyone else is in lockdown.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, giddy up the Knights. Oh, your boys are going to be fired up for this week, aren't they? How good. But, yeah, Hines, thankfully, don't need to move him on. I can, put points above cash in this instance. And then Josh Schuster. I've tried to had a bit of a dig around it and trying to work out where this guy is. He's in every casualty report, has been 1 week away, 1 week away, and all this, and he's still nowhere to be seen. So a couple of things, and this is obviously unconfirmed, but someone on Facebook saying that he re-injured himself in the rehab group at training. Others saying he's not there because it's an attitude thing. No idea what the go is, but for Schuster owners, it's a frustration. But for Carl Lawton owners, just keep reaping the rewards.
Cheering. Absolutely cheering. Yeah.
Yep, it's one of those seasons where we would have called it a bad play because Schuster was about to return. We've said it every week since, and he's still not there. So, Carl Lawton, come on down. All right, that's the Round 16 team news, and I thought we'd do a quick summary of what we're about to do for this round and who we think is going to flop, who we think is going to rock. So, I might get it started with the flopper, I think, for this week, and that's Teddy. I think he had a pretty handy origin. He was... by all accounts, quiet. He still ran for 200 metres and looked dangerous every time he had the ball, but there's just so much firepower in that side. It's a good time to be a Blues fan. But for Teddy, I think this is going to be yet another tough NRL matchup. So I see a sort of sub-50 score potentially. Am I overcooking it?
No, I think that's a pretty safe assumption. They're only 4 days removed from Origin 2, being on the Thursday night and coming up against the Storm, who are killers at the best of times. So, you know, if Teddy does actually run out on game day, I think he's probably due for a quiet one. He had a big game in the Origin, had, according to Wilson Smith, who tweeted out some scores for the State of Origin, Teddy had a 94 for the game for a super coach score. Mm. So plenty involved and he was wearing,
it's amazing, Queensland have become the Broncos of the Origin Arena, and Queensland, they had one Bronco.
Queensland Rugby League at the whole moment is just awful. It's just an embarrassment. But yeah, no, Teddy was spotted with the bum bag on his hip in the game. So he's obviously still carrying that hip point of injury. And you know, who knows how it flares up or not over the next couple of days leading into the Storm game.
Who's your flopper of the week prediction?
I think it'll be Gutho. He comes up against the Panthers, and the Panthers are just killing fullbacks all year. They're allowing less than 40 points per game to the position, with the highest score being Tom Trbojevic's 68. So, you know, they've just been absolutely putting the clamps on all fullbacks. And even when they had all the Origin boys out, you know, for round 13 and then round 14, when they were rested the following week, they had a 54 and a 24, you know, Will Kennedy and the Sharks beat them, and Will Kennedy had 24, and Dane Laurie and the Tigers gave him a pump in, and he only had 54 for the game. So they're not, they're still limiting the position.
Imagine some look at Gutho's scores throughout the year when it comes to decent opposition. So look at round 2 against the Storm, 32. Round 9 against the Roosters, 47. And then round 12 against Souths, 67. So not a lot of profit in those ranks. It's really the poorer teams where he gets an absolute roll on. So flat track bully, I'm sure that's been thrown at him a few times, but could be ringing true. I mean, I'm a Gutho owner, and I just sort of just put the R on him instinctively, but now you're making me reconsider. But I don't know what Penrith side we're going to get on Friday night. Obviously a big Western Sydney derby, and yeah, a lot of them backing up from Origin, although it was a, you know, 5-6 days before. But I don't know, maybe
it was a training run. It was an absolute training run. They should be fresh.
So I don't know whether it even will be played at Penrith. I assume in front of maybe no fans, if at all. So, yeah, it could really open this contest up. So interesting call, though. I think based on stats, you might be in the money. In terms of captain and vice-captain for this week, for me, I obviously can't go past Tommy Trbojevic. The big caveat being, does he actually play? Does can play a bit of silly buggers now and again, but you'd suspect Manly not in a precarious position, but they do need to win and get a roll on into the back end. So I suspect he will play, but really against this dog side, and didn't rattle anything off in the team list, but there's about 78 changes, and it's the Dogs. So
it looks like they just pulled a couple of blokes off the street.
It certainly does, and everything points to just a Manly rout. There's $7 in the betting. Dogs obviously not in good form. They're leaking a fair few points, and Manly are on an absolute tear. So is there anything but a 150-plus from Trbojevic this week?
As you said, the only caveat is if he gets rested. Say, backing up from Origin, early Saturday game, he had the calf complaint during the game, so there was a bit of question marks over his fitness, but he said he's all good and he's shaping up to run out. But – if they take it easy with him and sit him, that's the only thing stopping him from, you know, getting the captaincy, surely.
Mm. Is that who you're going with this week?
If he was completely healthy, I wouldn't look, you know, second guess it at all. But it is the backing up and the calf. I'd love to VC him just for those reasons, and to see how it goes. You never know what's going to happen. Maybe he flares it during the game, or it gets a bit tight and he just sits early. I'd hate for that to happen with the C on him. But if he isn't out, then I, because of the Reece Walsh we spoke about, I don't have a fullback, so he would be my captaincy loop option. So I'll want to have a VC already played leading into his game. That's – I don't know. It's a catch-22 for me.
There's not a lot. If you look at some of the games beforehand, so Roosters, Storm, Warriors, Dragons, Penrith, and Para, all the teams playing, I was trying to fit a VC option in there, not finding a lot of value. So a couple of the better sides coming up against each other. And the guy I landed on for my VC was Nico Hines.
Yeah.
So obviously just based on how good he's gone this year, but it is a very tough matchup. So I really don't know what to expect. It's really turbo or nothing, if that's the case.
Are you a Jerome Hughes owner?
I am.
You are? I'm very much looking at it. Also, just over the last couple of weeks, the right halves against the Roosters, 150 for Jamal Fogarty, 140 for Nathan Cleary.
Yeah.
So there you go. There is a very
the
decent.
The mighty Jamal Fogarty.
There is a very, very decent VC option for you.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I really don't know. I might check weather and just see what sort of grinding kind of game. I know it's a bit wet up in Brisbane here. The skies are crying because Queensland have lost, but if it's going to be a scrappy affair, a bit of rain around on the Friday night. So I guess maybe I'll keep that in mind. But it sort of just defaulted to Nico Hines. But, outside of that, the Bunnies have got a great matchup this week. If you aren't going a Manly player, you can get a Tiger v Rabbitohs matchup in the very last game of the round. So a fair few would have their eyes on the likes of Cody and AJ. So that could be a very handy matchup. The Sharks playing the Broncos it was at Suncorp. No idea where it'll be, but the Sharks surely get the job done over them there. And then there's a fair few that we're bringing in that we'll get to for our trade-ins. But a guy like Sean Johnson, very risky play, I'd suspect, based on his form. But against the Broncos, print your own ticket.
Yeah, extremely risky. And if they can run up a score on the Broncos and he's goal kicking, then he's just going to be getting bonus points all afternoon.
So, I mean, if only sort of turbo was late in the week or something like that, that we could just hold off and see how the rest of the game's fared. But it really takes the VC out for me. But I don't think I can bear to watch that Dogs game if I don't have the straight C on turbo. That's it for captains. A guy that I wish I had. So I've talked about these guys just every single week. With the Brian Toto's, the David Fifita's, the Isaiah Papali's. Still don't have them. I don't know when I'll get them. Round 18, I don't, whatever.
Yeah.
Just running with it. Doing okay with
that,
surprisingly.
I just don't understand. And you're beating me handily too.
I've had to cop it all year from the likes of you, Wen, and everyone about who I don't have and who I've chosen over there. But proof is in the pudding, mate. I'm at a lofty 3,000th or something.
Must
like
be
that.
All those Jake Granfuls carrying you.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, you called him out in your great article on the website, and good to have some content in the downtime. But you went through all the hookers. I think there was about 78 puns in there from you and the commenters. But very good article. But you lolled at Jake Granville, 183K or whatever, and in a side that's surely going to charge to a premiership tilt in 2021. How dare you?
It's just the easy pickings, mate. I just running through the article and I thought I'll list everybody who's going to be playing in round 17, and came to the Cowboys and went, oh, Jesus Christ, is he actually going to be? He's basement priced.
Oh, he absolutely is. So, but I reckon for this week, in terms of a player that I really wished I had outside of the obvious ones, Will Kennedy against the Broncos. It's your old adage of fullbacks against the Bronx. They tend to go pretty well so far this year. So he's going to be a very good buy. I think Wennen is actually looking at getting him this week.
He wants to bring him in. And just quietly against the Broncos, 98.9 points per game from fullbacks this year. The last six scores against them, 119, 97, 156, 156, 116. And then Latrell 71 from about 10 minutes last round after he was rested early. So he just leaking points to the position. So Will Kennedy is a massive shout this week. And a great C option if you're really feeling fancy. But for me, we spoke about him before, Jerome Hughes. He's a guy I want. And the Cleary news is possibly given me the option of getting him in against the Chooks on Thursday night. We've just had a message come through in the group chat to say that they're looking like it's a torn labrum, dislocated shoulder, and a fracture in the joint for Cleary. You're saying you can't put a needle in that, and there's going to be another scan to see blah 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 blah. But yeah, that doesn't sound good at all.
No, that's a lot going on, and it wasn't innocuous, but he played on through the game, I thought, and it was all done and dusted at that point anyway. But Nathan Cleary doesn't sound good at all. I think just it's too cloudy, and it just sounds dangerous. So yeah, no questions. I think get him out of your side. Jerome Hughes, interesting. Maybe I'll VC him just to spite you if he does go large. That's the kind of bloke that I am.
Yeah,
that's round 16. I am. That is round 16, and that's what we're suspecting will happen this week. Who knows? We'll take a quick break and then come into all the talk, all the rage. It's Super Trade Week. We'll talk about what we're doing and some of the guys we're keeping an eye on for round 17 and beyond.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it's now trade time. We've gone through 16, what we're captaining, vice-captaining, all that jazz. So now we're going to talk about who we're bringing in this round. Let's just get straight off the bat with what you and I are doing. Like, I know we've fumbled around with these trade ins and outs, and the frustrating thing is every time you want to make a change, you've got to reverse everything and do it all over again. And with five trades, that takes 7 hours, and you forget, and you've got to shift people around. It's a nightmare, but if I have a look at the trades that I've locked in so far, post-team list Tuesday, the out column, it's a reasonable one. Tevita Pangai Jr., suspended 4 weeks, see you later. Stefano, done your job, maybe some cash, see you later. Vili Kikau, did not do your job, see you later. Nathan Cleary, that's obviously the big one there. Million plus banking or bank rolling this entire enterprise. And James Roberts, the one job he did was score an 80 in a week where I used the loophole. So that prevented him and his usual 20s from affecting it too much. So I guess you could say that in his 100K or whatever is a bit of a win. But anyway, he's gone for round 16. In their place, Luke Thompson, Tohu Harris, Sitili Tupanua, all the forwards, SJ, and Campbell Graham. He's a bit of a pot option in centres, and he hasn't gone so well this year, but maybe this bunny's run will reap some rewards for him. So I've gone the five trades. That brings me to 8 for the run home. So there's 9 games we've got to consider going forward. So less than 1 around. It's a bit precarious, and I'll probably use 2 as well next week, which gives 6 in 8 for the run home. So it's a really dangerous position I put myself in, but that's what you get for burning trades.
So how many guys are you looking at for round 17 using 7?
14.
Good number.
14. Yeah, that was before. That doesn't include Josh Curran or Angus Crichton. So suspect neither of those will be playing. So, yeah, based on all that and all the outs, suspect I'll be having 14.
That's a good number, yeah. So I think if I can bring in a couple of guys this week and maybe one or two next week, I'll be looking similar, I think around 13. But, again, I've got Reece Walsh and Josh Curran, also Angus Crichton, if he is there or thereabouts. But so, yeah, it could be much, much less. Trades for me, I am also getting Tohu. I'm getting AFB if I can swing it. And it looks like the Cleary news coming through has probably pushed me over to the edge. So I'll get rid of him to bring in Jerome Hughes, which will allow me to go Stefano and Spencer Leniu, get those boys out for the two Warriors forwards.
There you go. Well, I mean, not too similar, but we've got a few common names. I think Tohu is a name that everyone needs to get in.
Absolutely.
Just playing lock. We didn't mention that in Teamless News, but he has been moved to lock with all that's going on with the Warriors. So that's where he normally plays anyway, he's a bit of a rover. So suspect his role will stay the same. He will bank points. He is just, yeah, get him in. He's a long-term absolute gun.
And
so,
just quietly, another trade I'm looking at, but I haven't settled on. I tweeted out about the round 17 center wing cheapy options, one of them being Tomoko, who we've spoken about, but the other, Tane Milne, playing on the right wing for the Bunnies. I'm thinking he's only 230K, so I could go jet down to him as well. It would give me another option for round 17. Playing on, as I said, the wrong side for the Bunnies, but they have a really good run. He has a negative break even, and he will be there in round 17 with the likes of Latrell and Gagai missing through Origin commitments. So he's definitely there. If they get their full contingent back, if Mansour somehow makes the team, I know Milne's been named over him this week, and Jackson Paulo's coming back from injury. Milne could even drop out and avoid being an AE nightmare, but it's that potential for him to stick around and score 20s and 30s is what's holding me off that trade at the moment. But he can't be any worse than James Roberts, surely.
Well, he got a 14 against you guys, but that was an absolute bludger of a game for I guess his side of the field. It was all going down the other. So, yeah, I mean, you can sort of write that one away. But outside of that, still gone pretty handy. So, I don't know, I don't mind that. I mean, he's a very cheap avenue into that Bunnies side. So, given the matchup he has this week and the fact they've got so much, like you mentioned, you got Josh Mansour, how he's sitting in 21. I don't know, maybe the Panthers were right about him all along. But Tane Milne, good to see him out and about. His name has been in Supercoach circles for quite some time. So, no, I don't mind that. It's almost a play that I'd probably hold off until next week just to guarantee that he's actually in the side. I wouldn't want your heart to be broken a la Reece Walsh.
Oh, well. I just may as well throw things caution to the wind at this stage.
Love it. All right. Maybe we'll move on from that into a pretty key question for the week. And I'm just going to throw in a sound bite. Let's break up our voices with... Cowboy, we need something for the segments, mate. Let's keep them.
Anything else, though? Is it anything?
The soundboard is very bare. What do we think is a good number for the run home? What do we think is a good number for round 17? See, I've gotten too excited. I bottled it. How many players should we have for next week?
You amped yourself up with the song and absolutely, you ballooned it.
I did. Absolutely did. Clothes coming back on. But, yeah, what do you reckon is a healthy number? We did touch on it a little bit. You and I have got, I think, between 13 and 14, all, you know, fingers crossed and everything going to plan coming into next week. So 14. Do you think that's a good number to have on, a couple of reasons? We both, I think, loaded up, or at least I did, in round 13 with having a lot of players on deck, and it didn't work out. Fair few dud scores, James Roberts and the like. Come to mind. So that's making me wary of having a big contingent, as well as some of the names that we're looking at aren't really long-term plays. If you're bringing in round 17 players to get a full quota, you could be doing yourself a bit of disservice in the run home. So grand question, million-dollar question, what's a good number?
At this stage of the game, I think 12 or 13 is a good number. if they're all very quality premium type players, your Torhu Harris's and that sort of thing, it's much different to round 13 where you're just hoping to have some warm bodies on the field in your cheapies, and then you could start moving those guys out after that. So trades are getting towards premium status, and we don't want to be wasting them on the cheap guys like the Tane Milnes, as I just mentioned. But so for me, I'm looking at guys that, even if they're not going to be played in my 17 week to week, they won't be an AE issue if I want to try and loop or someone drops out or anything like that. 50, 60 point scorers on the bench will just be handy enough, especially in the forward.
Surely that writes out Tane Milne for you, mate. Well, surely. I know you mentioned they've got all the cavalry and stuff, but that's a huge risk.
Yes, but the other risk is James Roberts. So it's much of a muchness. Do I just nuff Roberts and take the fair cash? So, I think 12 to 13, 14, 15 is exceptional. And, 16, 17, I think is probably almost impossible considering the teams that we've got. You won't want to be carrying those sorts of numbers unless you're making your team purely for round 17 to win the cash.
Yeah. I mean, I reckon if you've got, I started with 13 trades this week. I reckon if you've got, somewhere between 15 or more trades, you can absolutely go hell for leather.
Oh, absolutely. If you've managed to save trades throughout the year, then you've got them up your sleeve. Go for it. Yeah. But I know me personally, I've got 11 before trading this week. So I'm really just starting to think of the back end, as we said. I still got to get Fifita in. I'm looking at Ponga for the run home. I've got a couple other guys that I've got to bring in or just save some trades for those inevitable injuries.
Mm. With a bit of luck, if you tug this round and you get a very good score, you're going to go launch yourself up the rankings. Then if you can manage to hold off the injuries and all that stuff that always tends to happen in Supercoach, it could be the right play. We often don't think long-term in this game, but it's probably a good shout in terms of just thinking to that back end. I know we always get to, say, round 25 and go, Jesus, why did I blow all those trades for round 17? Why did I bring in Tane Milne? Just fast-forwarding into the future. But, yeah, we always look back and think, geez, if I had just played it a little bit safer with that and just almost taken a bath for that round, it could have set you up for success. But, if you've got to make a move, and I know we all like throwing darts and trying things, so I think if you've got to make a jump up the ladder, absolutely use this time to do it. I don't think you get a better chance to get one up on the majority of the competition. But then you've got to ride your luck, and I think we've seen that luck is not something that happens often in this game.
No, exactly right.
I honestly think if I'm going to put a number on it, I reckon 14. Because that's what I'm going.
That's what you're going for. That's just the number you pulled out. Yeah, absolutely. Yep,
that's the perfect number. Mate, we saw like round 13 players that had 11 or 12 and they had really good players, basically had the same score as players like me who had 15, 16, 17 almost. So like, yeah, you just really need to nail the picks that you are making for 17. Easier said than done.
100%, quality over quantity. So I went for numbers. I went for a mix, quality and quantity in round 13. As I said, we've got those early cheapies, the round 13 cheapies that we could have just ridden through. But then I had guys like David Nofaluma scored 28 and James Roberts scored 21. Yep. So there was just – it was almost pointless holding the Jet to that point. I could have just, flicked him earlier and saved myself the worry of it. But you don't want to be carrying those guys towards the back end of the year. So getting rid of them now, as you said, the Tane Milnes, it's a huge risk, one that I may have to take just to get rid of the Jet, essentially, because I don't know whether I want to be nuffing at this stage. Mm.
Yep. Now, I've only got one nuff. So if I'm looking around at my side, well, apart from Josh Curran, but I've got Caleb Milne. I don't know. I think I've seen his name in New South Wales Cup. If you could get a run for round 17, that would be fantastic. But, yeah, there's not a lot of nuffs. And it's now getting to the point where I've just got too much cash and too many warm bodies almost. I need to start nuffing.
Yeah, so that must be really hard beyond, for you. That sucks.
It is heartbreaking. But beyond round 17, I think that's where we need to start banking some of the cash because we don't need, 23 players who can play any week. You need to sort of whittle that down. I think for this year, though, I wouldn't over enough. Just having a look and considering, you know, the likes of Penrith, Roosters, Storm, Bunnies that have a tendency to rest their players and will be coming up against some pretty rubbish opposition that we'll get into in a moment. But it could be a year where you do need a reasonable number of good players, maybe a 21 and four enoughs, just throwing some numbers out there. I think that might help for any last-minute outs or anything like that. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun ride. I don't think we've ever seen a season like it. So who knows what we are in for. Next segment, let me just get... I won't play the whole thing. Save that for the end. Teams that have a good run. So round 17, teams that have the best run. So I've gone through in all my accountant expertise and mathematical knowledge and stats, all that jazz. There you go. I have ranked the eight round 17 playing sides in terms of order of easiness of their draw. Starts off Roosters, Souths, Warriors, Manly. They are the top four. Roosters play Dogs, Cows, and Knights. So I've gone through and basically the shit teams I've highlighted in red on my little screen here. The Roosters play four really shit teams and two okay but still pretty bad teams in the Dragons and Raiders in their 9 weeks to come. So they have a very good run, and it starts pretty much after this week. So I think Roosters, if you're thinking about bringing in long-term players, they could be a go, the likes of Daniel Tupou, and even Sam Walker. We talked a little bit about him being on the return this week, but you know, he could be a guy that players could start reconsidering. I know we've probably all traded him out, but Chooks have a pretty good run, followed by the arch-rivals Souths. So round 17, they play us. They will probably put 70 on us. And then after that, they play the Dogs. So Roosters and Bunnies are trading shit teams with each other over 17, 18. Playing tag team, it's not going to look pretty, but for Supercoach, it certainly will. Beyond that, they then play the Titans, who I've got as a very bad side.
They have been at the moment. They've absolutely fallen away, haven't they?
Yeah, certainly have. So they play three really shit sides. And one side I've got here, I've ranked below them, but that's the Warriors. And I thought I'd rank them at two if they were playing in New Zealand, but I really don't know what's going to happen there. That could have been a huge X factor. But their run home from about round 20 onwards is very good. So they play the Tigers, Dogs, Broncos, and Titans in that time. That leads me towards a guy like Cody Nikorima. Just thinking about him being the sole gun halfback, I guess they've got now with CHT out. We all know the stats. He tends to perform a little bit better when he's not there. So he could be a guy that you may want to consider in the run home, having a pretty handy halfback or 5'8", whatever you put him in. Could be a good play to have given some of the guys around him in that spot may get a resting. So got Warriors there up there. And then Manly. So the good sides, I think you're starting to see, have a pretty good run in terms of round 17 buys. They finish with the Dogs and Cows. So hopefully Manly is still in the fight for a top four, top eight, whatever it is, and Turbo plays because,
that's going to get ugly.
Dogs, Cows, Quinella, it's popping up. And I'm not, as a Cows fan, I don't like it, but for Supercoach, that is absolute gold. Last, ranked them 5, 6, 7, 8. Dogs, obviously, last. Cows, 7th. We play a handy run of Broncos, Titans, Tigers. Then outside of that, we're probably going to get pumped. And then Raiders and Sharks, 6 and 5, respectively. I don't think too many players. I think the Sharks have had a good run over the last couple of weeks. It does sort of even out. They play the Warriors, Raiders, Dogs, and then Manly. Warriors, Knights, Tigers, Broncos, Storm to finish. So not a difficult run by any stretch, but their run of sort of easy beat games is slowing for the time being. But I think based on that, I wouldn't be considering them to have a bad run at all. Does that give you any sort of, did you disagree with any of those runs? I mean, I know we're trying to think long term, so maybe having a look forward this far, you know, 2-3 months actually is a decent help. Are you looking at these sort of runs?
I am and I'm not. As I said, the guys I want to get for the run home are largely either Origin players or round 13 guys. So they'll have the bye in round 17 and therefore not on this list. But it definitely helps when you're looking at someone like a a Daniel Tupou, maybe over, you know, someone of Ruben Garrick, perhaps. You know, he's goal kicking and absolutely tearing it up, but they've got the slightly harder draw on the run home compared to what the Roosters have. So that the Sharks, I like the Sharks draw a lot, probably more than what you've got here. They only play Manly and Storm as teams that are doing much better than them. Warriors are probably going to put them up a decent fight. Raiders at the moment are so few and far between. We saw them absolutely drop a sitter in the Dragons game last week.
Had money on it.
Yes, you did.
Oh, you were there, yeah. It was another failed gambling outing. I thought, you know, $2 with 10 to go and the Raiders being up. But faders, Canberra faders, why did I do it?
Well, because we've been on the drink for about 12 hours by that stage after the races, so that probably explains a lot of our gambling to that point.
Didn't take the loss as hard with my $20 as the guy, the Raiders fan in the corner there, that got up and almost threw his glass across the room.
Yes.
Emotions were flying.
Yeah, but yeah. But yeah, so I really like the Sharks, the draw that they have coming up. It's just that they don't have a lot of super coach relevant players, unfortunately. When you mentioned earlier the Warriors too, and Cody Nikorima in particular, he was someone I was very seriously considering around 17 option. But the news now that CHT is probably coming back a little bit sooner than expected, and Chad Townsend's there. You know, he's
the Chad.
The Chad, your boy for next year and beyond. So how that affects Cody's game or the team makeup or whatever else as far as the attacking flow goes, I'm just not sure. I'd want to hold off and watch Cody at least this week and see how they go.
Yeah, I mean, I'd hope that he retains the goal kicking. I guess that's, for me, that's why I've held off for this week, just to see how he does, as you mentioned, fit in with this rotation. I imagine Chad plays a bit of a passive role, having come partway through the season and getting used to or reused to his former club and how it all works there. But I think Cody is still the main guy. Big thing for him, big plus, is that he is goal kicking. If he doesn't, then, yeah, rule him out. But, as you said, I like the Sharks as well. I think there's a couple of guys, SJ, even a guy like Talakai. I know he's been bandied around. Bit of a risk sort of play, but if you are sort of tossing up these cheaper price players, you might want to consider a Shark. I know they're not the most flavor of the month.
When's Wade Graham due back on the Talakai front?
Well, yeah, again, it's a Pappenhausen kind of situation, right? Like it was 4 weeks straight off the bat. So who knows what that turns into, given his history with concussion in the game and all that. But, geez, it could be a tough road ahead. But, again, that's why I guess Talakai is a risk. So, but anyway, we'll get to him in the couple of players of interest that we've got. So I think really Roos and South, lock him in. I think that's basically what these.
So you're saying line is to get Tane Mill. Is that what I'm reading into this?
I'm saying they will play so well that they will rest all players. Josh Mansell will come back and score an absolute mozza. So there's your Tane Mill risk. Yeah. I don't know. I still want him, like, for your sake and given your bad luck with Reece Walsh, and because I'm a nice guy, I reckon, yeah, our fingers crossed for you, mate. He's going to turn up against us in round 17. All right, let's go into some of the players of interest that we've got. And I know the last pod that we were on, we did go through in detail, position by position, and some of the players that we fancied. So we'll make it a bit more of a streamlined version this time and list some off. I've ranked them, you haven't, so you can just tell me if my rankings are shit or not. But first,
it's been 2 minutes since I've heard that. I was starting to wonder where it was. Yeah.
Absolutely was. So I've basically got the same list that we read out last time we were on air. But second row forwards, let's start with them. I've ranked the top four that I like in this position. I reckon these are all buyers if you can get them in. Tohu Harris, shouldn't use nicknames, CHN, Corey Harawira Naira. Number three, Satili Tupanua. And number four, Kian Koloa Matangi. I've got some other options if you're really wanting to pot up, and that's Britton Nakora. But he majorly flopped against us last week and has not done much of note at all. If you like the Sharks run, as we mentioned, he could be a goer. So those four names, I've ranked them in order of, I think, urgency in terms of getting them in. You don't need to get them all. I won't be bringing in Koloa Matangi, but I've got the top three there, and that's Tohu, CHN, and Tupanua. I think they're long-term holds given how they've been playing and the sides that they are in. Do you disagree?
No, it's hard to argue with that. All three are putting out good numbers, and Tupanua in particular has some high attacking upside, so I agree.
That's good. I know you do have to consider Dave Fifita in your second row molds. I know it's pretty stacked. If I look at mine, my cheapest player at the minute is Josh Curran. So depending on where he lands next week, it's going to be a tough one to squeeze Fifita in there, because it's basically all second row onlys. All my dual players are up in front row. So a bit unfortunate, but for me, I think it's a pretty good position we've seen so far this year to attack for round 17. Any other names I haven't thought of?
No, nothing that I can think of off the top of head. It's a pretty limited in round 17 options in the second row this year.
Certainly is. For this next position, halfbacks, it's a bit of an interesting one. Given the news with Nathan Cleary, we had two names only last time we did this, and that was Cody, number one, and SJ being number two in terms of our trade-in targets for round 17. I think, based on what you've said, if you don't have a Jerome Hughes, really could be a good week to bring him in. Given how well he's performing and the fact he's at the Storm and all that, all the good stuff there. So I think you really need a gun, absolute out and out gun, backup half back option with Cleary being out. So, I mean, if you don't already have Hughes, we'll consider you to be the outlier here. I've gone, well, I had Cody down as number one here, and then followed by SJ, and then other option being Sam Walker, sort of a pod option, depending on how he goes coming back from injury. But Cody 1, SJ 2, that's the way I've gone. Weird, though, because I haven't actually traded in I've traded in SJ this week, and I'm looking at Cody next week. So whatever. The science isn't great, but that's where I've gone. Do you disagree?
Yeah, I'd personally flip them. As I said, I like – there's a few question marks over Cody for me, wait and see and blah, 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 blah. But I like the Sharks run. And SJ, I think he's getting confidence off that Achilles injury, and he's starting to find his feet again.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing for me, that Cody's, when he has been on so far this year, has scored very well. I'm not sure how many tons he's gotten, but I know he's been less rocks and more diamonds than he usually is so far this year. So maybe he's bucking that trend of old, but just having a look, he's got 3 tons to his name. So he's got the runs on the board, whereas SJ, we're kind of just hoping he does explode, and you'd imagine this week against the Broncos is a good chance. But yeah, still just not seeing the scores we would normally expect from SJ, but as you mentioned, Achilles, we've got to consider that. It's a pretty nasty injury to come back from. For round 17 anyway, I think that you've probably got to have one, if not both, depending on how your halves and 5/8s are stacked up. I think these are pretty valuable options for 17.
Yeah. Say it's if you want to have a halfback in round 17, you know, outside of the Sam Walkers, who probably everybody got when he was cheapy and possibly has retained, those are your two best options. There's no one else. You're not going to grab who plays for the Dogs at that stage. It's just,
Averillo?
As I said, it's so few and far between with these teams as far as super coach options go. It's really limited as to what you can get. The best probably players you would think on the list of teams would be Luke Keary, who's also out, and Daly Cherry Evans, who's in Origin and also terrible. But, you know, Adam Reynolds is there as a possible couple-week play if you really wanted to go down that route. But then again, he's been bandied about to replace Cleary in Origin. So there's not many options.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that, actually, who would be his replacement. So does that mean, if we just segue onto the 5/8 spot, that my one name down here, Cody Walker, could be in the potential frame for Origin?
Could be. And again, I tweeted about that today, and it's a worry. The logical thing would be, Whiten has been playing in the 14, so he's a half.
I absolutely agree.
And
logic.
Put reasoning. Him up and blah, 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 blah. But Jerome Luai, Jack Whiten, and Cody Walker are all left-side halves. If they want a right-side specialist, they may go somewhere else, or they may just shift one of those boys over. Luai has played on the right for club this year, so, but does then Walker end up in the 14 if Whiten is promoted, or does Gutho end up in the 14 and it saves Cody Walker? It's a scary proposition for Cody Walker owners, unfortunately.
If New South Wales played with 12, would they still win?
It'd probably only be a 20-point game. But it could happen. The way that PBL ball is going this year, everyone's playing with 12 at some stage.
Yeah, it's not an ideal spot for the Origin Arena for Queensland, but for New South Wales, they can basically do what they like. So if they do want to give Cody a reprieve, it's probably a good time to do it with no pressure on or anything like that. Mitch Pearce, why not Mitchie?
Just throw him in so he can raise the trophy.
There you go. Get Gal back, all those long-suffering guys, Hindy, whoever else. There you go. So for me, 5-8 spot is either Cody Walker or probably no one.
Tom Dearden.
Obviously, Cody. Oh, there you go. We didn't talk about him, but yeah, Tommy Dearden, the mighty Tom Dearden, try-scoring form that he's in. Other options obviously being Cody or SJ. So if you are running short at 5-8, maybe it's a good spot for one of those. So you could have Cody at halfback and SJ at 5-8 or vice versa. Handy jewels to have. All right, I'll leave you with this one, mate, because your article during the week obviously was all about hookers and you ran the gauntlet on all of them. So if you want to rank in your order of preference for this dark hooking spot.
Yeah, it's not great by any means. As I said, I went through everybody, but it's still pretty bleak, unfortunately.
Everyone's shit. Okay, who are the good ones? Anyone.
The good ones.
Give me a name.
The Cheese, he doesn't even play.
He's great.
You've put me on the spot. I guess Jeremy Marshall King is an interesting one playing for the Dogs. He is averaging roughly 50, but it's, you know, sort of at the top end of his scores. Josh Hodgson, I'd probably put way up there. He's got the number 9 back at the moment. He's scored a couple of 70s over the last couple of weeks. One of those, was it last week? He only played 66 minutes and scored a 70. Or something like that. But he's really wrestled it away from Tom Starling now. Seems to be trying to prove something more than anything else. As I said, the names on this list, you got Victor Radley, you've got down here. He should be back, but then he's had his suspension cut, I guess, for want of a better word, because of the two Origin games factoring in. And if they factor in because he was going to be selected, does he get selected for game 3? You would think he should, if his suspension has been reduced because of those Origin games, his club suspension, I should say. He was supposed to be out 5 weeks. He's missed 3 club games and the 2 Origin games.
Foz.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I keep forgetting about him because he's actually playing 5-8, but Kieran Foran is available at hooker. Negative 37 break even thanks to a massive score last time out against the Titans. Just over 300K. So he's not going to be a guy that you want to pick up and run with on all the way home and play him every week or whatever else. But if you've got the trades there, bring him in. He'll do a job for a couple of weeks and make some cash. Then you can just flick him to maybe a Harry Grant. He can be your bridge there.
He's number 9 most traded in player so far this week with 3,000.
Guys,
so,
you know, super coaches love a chasing points trade.
I mean, you look at his form line. Is it that much worse than, you know, Connor Watson, a Jaden Brayley over the last few months? I mean, it's much of a muchness. I don't know. It's late in the year to be grabbing guys with negative break evens in the hope that they're a cash cow. But Kieran Foran, handy botter to have over round 17. You never know. It's a strange old season. Sometimes the most obvious call is the right one. So I don't know. I think to sum up this hooking spot, probably just wouldn't bother.
I wouldn't. Let's say the best options are all either Origin guys or round 13 players. So you got your Brayleys, your Reed Marnies or Monies, if you will, who he's out at the moment, hurt, obviously, and we don't know when he's going to get back. Harry Grant is hurt. Cheese is killing it, but won't be there for round 17, and you can play him in second row as well, blah, 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 blah. I'd be stacking my 2 spots with those sorts of names rather than getting someone in just for 2 weeks who could score you a 50 or 60 as sort of looking at top end.
Agreed. Fullback, let's move to them. Third last position. No real standouts. I've got Will Kennedy number one, followed by Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, and RTS is obviously pending whether Reece Walsh is back. If he's out on the wing, wouldn't go near him. But Will Kennedy, the interesting one for me. I know, as we said, Wenin's bringing him in. It'd be really, if you didn't have the money to go buy a Tommy Turbo and you're just over it, maybe target the matchups that Will Kennedy has. And I know he's been a bit of a standout so far this year, quite achiever. So maybe Will Kennedy could be the pod, should have a handy score over the round 16 and 17 weeks. So beyond that, might be looming trade-out target, but he'd be one of those pure round 17 plays bye week and then forget beyond that. But I don't know. I think his scores hold their own in a pretty, obviously, a very tough spot in terms of his peers, but Will Kennedy so far this year has really surprised.
No, absolutely. He's been quietly going about it too. The only games he's averaging 63 a game, and that's only brought down by two games against Penrith, where he's had 4 points in 80 minutes and 24 points in 80 minutes. But outside of that, you know, his lowest is 44 back in round three against the Eels. And other than that, he's getting 60s for fun, and he's dropped a couple of tons along the way. He's, a quiet achiever.
Yeah, 80 break even this week, but against the Broncos, he's going to clear that by at least
double.
18.8, whatever is the stat. So could be a safe grab for this week if you need it. But I think not really similar to Hooker, where we don't have a lot of options, I think for fullback, it's so stacked that tinkering with it now at this stage of the year, given the caliber of players we got in and around that spot, it's just a recipe for disaster if it doesn't go well for Kennedy in the next 2 weeks.
And I guess an option for anybody out there, if I can, I'll steal the segue into the next one. So there's a lot better options in the center wing position. Mm. And Alex Johnson is available at fullback. So he could be an option that you could get into the fullback position, play a bunch of other guys in your center wings, and you can flick Johnson up into your center wing to replace him with a gun fullback for the run home.
Yeah, no, not a bad option there. I think given the way Alex Johnson's going, that's very easy play, and you can don't need to avoid trading him out as you would with a Will Kennedy, I'd suspect. So no, I quite like that if you can make the moves work. Given you segued, how about we go into center wings? I reckon it is that spot to target. It can be just so profitable getting someone in for round 17 who just falls over the line. And beyond that, either doesn't turn into an AE nightmare like Tony Milne most definitely will, or continues to play in a pretty handy side. So obviously we're targeting the Roosters and the Bunnies in that regard. So I've ranked all these guys in order of price. I don't know if I wanted to go through all of them, but how about we start at the most just shock result so far in season 2021, and that is that Ruben Garrick is 729K, has a break even of 10, playing the Dogs this week.
Could be
what's
anything.
What's going on? Yeah.
Dropped 156 against the Titans.
Casually.
Yes. He was on single digits at halftime, I think.
Yep. That is the big worry with Garrick, because he will stand out there and do nothing, and then out of nowhere, we'll get three tries.
Was it round two or round three this season? They were talking about dropping him because he just wasn't performing. Mm. And now he's the top pure center wing in the game. Just goal kicking in a very potent attacking side. You know, Turbo made this team essentially a top four team if he was there all year. And he's putting points on the board through himself or through try assists, and Garrick's been a big benefactor of that, and goal kicking to boot. So really boosting his scores for with freebies. So he's not a bad play by any means, averaging 79, 80 points on the year, killing it. So a sustained run of very good scores, but he does have a down week in him. And 22 earlier on, 33 against the Panthers, a 40 against the Panthers as well. So they're against the good sides. And as you said, Manly has a decent run home. So he could just keep this up and put on some monsters.
He's at 9% ownership, which, you know, for a center wing who's 730K and has been building for a long time now, you'd suspect that would be up a lot higher. But I think most people like you and I are just shocked at the name.
Just hesitant, yeah.
Yeah.
Just waiting for the balloon to pop.
if you've got the cash, why not? Because, I mean, that's the only thing is his price tag is so high now and it's just climbing. So, I mean, that's the big thing. If you can find the cash to bring him in, he's almost a no-brainer just how they've been going. And the fact Turbo's in the form of his life. So, I think Ruben Garrick, a possible luxury trade, but will be a very good body to have.
You actually make 100K if you wanted to boot Hines to him.
There you go. Why not just get both? I think very points brave. Between very two brave, of them yeah. would be great. Certainly would. I'll rattle off these names. Stop me if you hear a name that you'd be feel like it wouldn't sit in your round 17 side. Like you wouldn't be bringing this guy in for whatever reason. There's obviously too many names and we're not going to bring them all in, but rattle them off. Alex Johnson, 663K, playing Tigers, break even a 43. Jesse Raymond, 534K, playing the Donks and break even a 99. Daniel Tupou, 523K, playing Storm, break even 110. Campbell Graham, 475K, playing Tigers, break even 26. Mulatalo, 471, playing Broncos, break even 20. Joseph Manu, 471K, playing Storm back at the centres and break-even a 42. Matt Cavallo, 454K, playing Storm and break-even 45.
Probably around Joey Manu is where I'd draw the line there.
Okay.
We don't know what's going to happen with Mulatalo and this eligibility mess, whether he's there playing Origin round three or not, but that really juicy matchup for the Broncos. But he's not a guy you want for the run home, I don't think. Decent, fifth or sixth centre wing? Perhaps if you want to have some depth in position, can put on some big scores. And the Sharks, he's playing on the preferred side of the field, I believe. Is he on SJ's side of the field? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
Yeah, I got no idea. Don't watch the Sharks.
SJ gets everywhere but, on that field. He'll be right.
Joey Manu, it's a tough matchup with the Storm, regardless of their Origin players being available or not. It's...
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. He will play fullback, obviously, with Teddy not there. So that's the big round 17 play. Beyond that, I agree. I think he's not a hold.
No.
But if you're playing a guy that you want to heavily target just for round 17, I'd still reckon he's in the conversation.
In consideration. Not, but as a fullback, even as in a halves, he's an absolute gun. But in the center, he just goes missing far too often for mine.
Yep. Matt Cavallo, we mentioned 454K, beneficiary of a lot of Sam Walker brilliance, so we'll get a bad score every now and again. Next couple of names are some Raiders. Jordan Rapana, 426K, playing Titans this week, break even of 78, and Bailey, big Simon Star Simonson, 385K, negative 11 break even, and playing fullback, not sure how long Nicol Klukstar is out.
I think he's those two names.
There you go. Those two names
fancier? JR was someone I was keeping an eye on a couple of weeks ago, but he's like his 60s and 70s that he was getting at the start of the year are gone. He's now looking at your 40s on a good day. And the Raiders just aren't putting it together for whatever reason. So I think he's probably can be left behind. Bailey Simonson's interesting. If you've held him, you're laughing. He's playing fullback. He can put on a massive score from there. As he showed against the Broncos, he destroyed him. Not so good against the Dragons, obviously, but you just ride this out for a couple more weeks and take the cash rise for what it is. I wouldn't be getting it, though.
Last name we've got here is CC Vitalikai. So 337K, not kicking on as we expected, but it gets another go at Wade Graham's second row spot. So against the Broncos, could score a try, whatever, but long-term hold, question marks?
Question marks, yep.
There you go. Moving back, is there anyone now before we go to the final front row forward rotation? Anyone in the center wings we've forgotten?
No. So you've got your Origin guys, obviously. Matt, well, Wenham's boy, DWZ. He's now at the at the Warriors, averaging 57, but he's going to be playing on the wing for the Warriors, so it won't be the same.
No, it will not be. But I hope, as I do for Tane Milne and you, I hope for Wenham's sake that the boy tears it.
He deserves it after what he's gone through. Yep.
He does. Good on you, Wenham. Holiday Wenham it is. Finally, front row forwards. I think for this one, there's a couple of no-brainers. And this is an easy one to target for long-term holds because the position is not very deep. TPJ being out for 4 weeks, I think it is, definitely means he's a must get rid of. So names for round 17, Luke Thompson, Marty Tapau. And I've just lost it here. But what do we got? Fenua Blake, your boy. Yep. So those three, top three, I think looking elsewhere could be a little bit, luxury. The likes of Ryan Sutton, who may rely on an attacking stat or two. I think those sort of guys are the three players you could comfortably carry in the run home, maybe surrounded by an Isaiah Papali'i, who I'm sure to get in the near future. Disagree with any of those?
Not at all. The only other guy I would sort of raise as a question mark would be TKO. But again, fallen away a bit. Did he get binned in the last game, which led to his 46-point score? Do I remember that correctly?
I think so. Yes.
But
sure.
Yeah, playing Melbourne. He's got the starting prop spot back, but he's not goal kicking anymore. So he'd be my fourth one on that list. Marty Tapau's been killing it. Luke Thompson's been killing it, but he also suffered a sin bin last round. And Fenua Blake, we know he's a beast. He's a premier front rower in this game, but been injured all year. You've got here, he's 466. He's not. He's 418K. So he's only a stone's throw away from a Stefano.
There you go. I mean, it's a decent enough position, I think, for round 17 and beyond. It's going to give you some handy week-to-week points. It's not outside of a Zaha Papali'i, a profitable one by any means, but there's enough spots in there, unlike a hooking rotation where you can target it for round 17. And I mean, I don't think you can really miss looking at some of those names. They're reliable, they're good. All right, I reckon that sums it up for round 17 and some of the guys we're targeting. One player who I thought I would mention, because I cannot believe I haven't mentioned a Cowboy all apart from Jake Granville. Who'd have thought? Jason Taumalolo. I was tempted to pull the trigger this week. I just cannot believe he is so far off the frame that we're not even considering him for the bye week, which is usually his biggest week.
His hugest week. And he's someone I had penciled in for this round, but the game against the Sharks, I believe it was, your round 15 game, scored a 54, which is decent enough. It's just sort of over his average, but he got a line break in there. So he's just, for whatever reason, he's just all off the pace this year. Now, whether that's the rotation or the game plan or you know, he just couldn't be fucked because of the new coach.
Gonna correct you there, mate. Did not have a line break. His sole line break was against the Broncos match winning try. He was pretty ordinary against the Sharks. Again, they're just the rotation's killing him. He's coming off when we're still in the contest. When he comes back on, we're just chasing points and doesn't help. So Lolo, give him one more week, give him a watch, and who knows, maybe we get drunk enough to bring him in. Yeehaw, up the Cowboys. All right. That's it for round 17. Well, our round 17 chat. We've still got round 16 to play. Like, what a couple of weeks in Supercoach and NRL it's going to be.
I can't wait, mate. It's going to be awesome.
Nothing else to do when you're locked in the house with kids, mate. Looking forward to it. Like, you have a...
I'm going to be blind on Thursday night. You count on it.
Oh, mate. Have a splendid weekend. Keep sane. Keep healthy. Hope Tony Mill works out for you, and all the best for next week.
Yes, and to all of our listeners too, all the best, guys. Stay safe in these COVID times. Give your love to a cowboy man. He's gonna love you hard as he can. Give your love to a cowboy man. He's gonna love you hard as he can. The sergeant at arms had a masculine charm. He came to keep all the ladies waiting. One, two, three, four. His black leather boots against the butts of his troops. What a way to keep up your rage.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.